A real bombshell went off today in D.C. when the people covering the president realized, whoops, the hen is out of the hen house, so to speak. And that's how we start here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Each and every show we go inside the Beltway with the true insiders. We tee it up with them. Benny Martinez joins us this time around. Benny, I think a shock to everybody that the president was in Afghanistan. There was no leakage there, was there, in D.C.?
No, okay. And actually, there was zero leakage. There was a relatively very slow news day inside the Beltway until around 3 o'clock Eastern time when news broke that the president had, in fact, been on a 13-hour flight to Afghanistan. And so it was quite a spectacle from our end, considering, you know, the slow news day turned into quite a hectic news day by this afternoon. So essentially what the president is doing in Afghanistan, your listeners may or may not have heard, but he went there to meet with Afghan President Hamid Karzai to sign what's known as the Strategic Partnership Agreement. This document essentially is representative of the turn in the war in Afghanistan. What's going to do is that after 2014 is the year the president has already indicated all combatant forces, United States forces, would leave Afghanistan. After that date, there would still be a United States military presence in Afghanistan serving only a supportive role for their government. And that role would last another 10 years till 2024. A lot of the details of this agreement have yet to be hashed out. How much it's going to cost, how many troops are going to be around for the next decade. Those kinds of details are yet to be uncovered and unveiled. But the mere fact that he took the trip, took the risk to go to Afghanistan and do this, it just speaks volumes about where we're at in that war in Afghanistan.
Yeah, no kidding. So it does speak volumes of it. So there had to be some reaction among the people in D.C. once they found out this was happening, like you said, 3 o'clock Eastern. And what did the reaction seem to be?
Well, Kate, you know, interestingly enough, as soon as news broke, there was a lot of speculation over how Republicans would react to the president's trip. Given that in the past week, Obama has come under some pretty heavy fire over his most recent campaign ad, which essentially boasts the fact that he made the decision to kill Osama bin Laden, and today, May 1st, being the one-year anniversary of that date. So a lot of people were criticizing him, saying he was taking advantage of that, he was exploiting that decision, and he was being very arrogant about it. And so going into this, we were expecting inside the Beltway some very harsh criticisms from Republicans, but albeit Senators John McCain and Senator Lindsey Graham, both on the Senate Armed Services Committee, came out today applauding the president, basically defending the fact that he was not there for political reasons, that he was, and that the reason he was there was a great moment for the country. They're both, you know, very, very adamant about the United States Armed Forces. Obviously, John McCain, a former POW and former vet himself, and so. The fact that these two have come and basically supported the president's trip to Afghanistan and have applauded it and have congratulated both him and President Karzai of Afghanistan is very telling about the seriousness and the magnitude of the president's trip to Afghanistan.
Yeah, absolutely. There was one other thing that sort of happened, just that the fact that you've got Congressman Ryan offered a bill to end the sequester in the bid to stop automatic defense cuts. So this is interesting because, like I said, it's in during the sequester period. So that bill is sort of a push to prevent $600 billion in those cuts over 10 years. How far do you think this will go? You cover the House, certainly, and the Senate all the time. You think this has any leg that Ryan will be able to jam this through?
It's interesting that the news of Ryan's plan to do this broke before the president's trip to Afghanistan broke. But it's interestingly enough, Kate, and I'll tell you, I don't think Ryan's plan has any legs, mainly because What he wants to do is, there are two bills. The first bill he wants to introduce basically changes the language in the Budget Control Act that says there will be automatic sequester all across the board against mandatory discretionary spending in 2014. So he's going to change that language. And the second bill he's introducing is a bill that would essentially offset those cuts by cutting funding to other programs. And he's dove into some House committees, the Committee of Agriculture, Ways and Means Committee, Oversight and Government Reform, and those committees have given him enough budget cuts to offset the sequester, and most notably the $600 billion in defense cuts that would essentially be implemented in 2013. But unfortunately, in this Congress, in this day and age, in an election season, I don't believe this proposal has any legs, namely because Ryan is infamous for budget slashing. He came out with his GOP budget just a few weeks back, and that got passed the House because of the Republican majority in the House, has no legs in the Senate, and I don't see it going anywhere again. So still the country faces a sequester in 2013, big cuts to defense, but I think this is something that the president might want, considering the fact that we're winding down in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I agree. So we'll see. Thanks so much, Benny Martinez, Talk Radio News. We'll chat with you again down the road.
Thanks, Jay. Have a good one.
You too. All right, because, of course, the president's speech was so big, as you heard me chatting with Benny there, 88,000 troops still in Afghanistan, and the polls pretty much show that 60% of us disagreed with continuing in Afghanistan. Now, this just really becomes the official deal. So we can still go in for special operations into Afghanistan according to this new peace accord. They're kind of replacing war with peace, as the president said. And this is the deal that we've already talked about in the past. There's going to be money attached to this. So Hamid Karzai, the president, pretty happy. Pretty wild that he was able to fly under the radar all night to Bagram Air Force Base, being undetected. Now, there were some media people involved. They had to sign a non-disclosure of what was going on, like the Associated Press. And I'm thinking, no tweets, nothing busted open about this, which is in some ways kind of surprising. But it worked. So replacing war with peace, 88,000 on the ground, and a big show in Afghanistan. What does it mean for the U.S.? Well, if you take Iraq and you take Afghanistan, $1.3 trillion, give or take, is what we spent on those wars. So the Prez is saying we're finishing the job. We got a partnership. We're going to finish this job, meaning the training of more diplomats, the training really of the security forces will continue in that country. There weren't a lot of specifics in this new accord, and that's what I found very disconcerting. Once again, lots of flowery language, lots of conversation about what the future would hold, lots of conversation about peace, but no specifics about what's going to happen in this new deal. So we're going to let you hear the whole thing coming up round the bend next on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price, and you could lose money. But it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Promise, the president sneaks into a war zone, and here's what he had to say.
Good evening from Bagram Air Base. This outpost is more than 7,000 miles from home, but for over a decade, it's been close to our hearts. Because here, in Afghanistan, more than 500,000 of our sons and daughters have sacrificed to protect our country. Today I signed a historic agreement between the United States and Afghanistan that defines a new kind of relationship between our countries, a future in which Afghans are responsible for the security of their nation, and we build an equal partnership between two sovereign states, a future in which war ends and a new chapter begins. Tonight I'd like to speak to you about this transition. But first, let us remember why we came here. It was here, in Afghanistan, where Osama bin Laden established a safe haven for his terrorist organization. It was here in Afghanistan where Al-Qaeda brought new recruits, trained them, and plotted acts of terror. It was here, from within these borders, that Al-Qaeda launched the attacks that killed nearly 3,000 innocent men, women, and children. And so 10 years ago, the United States and our allies went to war to make sure that Al-Qaeda could never again use this country to launch attacks against us. Despite initial success, for a number of reasons, this war has taken longer than most anticipated. In 2002, bin Laden and his lieutenants escaped across the border and established safe haven in Pakistan. America spent nearly 8 years fighting a different war in Iraq. And Al-Qaeda's extremist allies within the Taliban have waged a brutal insurgency. But over the last 3 years, the tide has turned. We broke the Taliban's momentum. We've built strong Afghan security forces. We devastated Al-Qaeda's leadership, taking out over 20 of their top 30 leaders. And 1 year ago, from a base here in Afghanistan, our troops launched the operation that killed Osama bin Laden. The goal that I set, to defeat Al-Qaeda and deny it a chance to rebuild, is now within our reach. Still, there will be difficult days ahead. The enormous sacrifices of our men and women are not over. But tonight I'd like to tell you how we will complete our mission and end the war in Afghanistan. First, we've begun a transition to Afghan responsibility for security. Already nearly half of the Afghan people live in places where Afghan security forces are moving into the lead. This month, at a NATO summit in Chicago, our coalition will set a goal for Afghan forces to be in the lead for combat operations across the country next year. International troops will continue to train, advise, and assist the Afghans and fight alongside them when needed. But we will shift into a support role as Afghans step forward. As we do, our troops will be coming home. Last year, we removed 10,000 U.S. troops from Afghanistan. Another 23,000 will leave by the end of the summer. After that, reductions will continue at a steady pace with more and more of our troops coming home. And as our coalition agreed, by the end of 2014, the Afghans will be fully responsible for the security of their country. Second, we are training Afghan security forces to get the job done. Those forces have surged and will peak at 352,000 this year. The Afghans will sustain that level for 3 years and then reduce the size of their military. And in Chicago, we will endorse a proposal to support a strong and sustainable long-term Afghan force. Third, we're building an enduring partnership. The agreement we signed today sends a clear message to the Afghan people. As you stand up, you will not stand alone. It establishes the basis for our cooperation over the next decade, including shared commitments to combat terrorism and strengthen democratic institutions. It supports Afghan efforts to advance development and dignity for their people. And it includes Afghan commitments to transparency and accountability and to protect the human rights of all Afghans, men and women, boys and girls. Within this framework, we'll work with the Afghans to determine what support they need to accomplish two narrow security missions beyond 2014, counterterrorism and continued training. But we will not build permanent bases in this country, nor will we be patrolling its cities and mountains. That will be the job of the Afghan people. Fourth, we're pursuing a negotiated peace. In coordination with the Afghan government, my administration has been in direct discussions with the Taliban. We've made it clear that they can be a part of this future if they break with Al-Qaeda, renounce violence, and abide by Afghan laws. Many members of the Taliban, from foot soldiers to leaders, have indicated an interest in reconciliation. The path to peace is now set before them. Those who refuse to walk it will face strong Afghan security forces backed by the United States and our allies. Fifth, we are building a global consensus to support peace and stability in South Asia. In Chicago, the international community will express support for this plan and for Afghanistan's future. And I have made it clear to its neighbor, Pakistan, that it can and should be an equal partner in this process in a way that respects Pakistan's sovereignty, interests, and democratic institutions. In pursuit of a durable peace, America has no designs beyond an end to Al-Qaeda safe havens and respect for Afghan sovereignty. As we move forward, some people will ask why we need a firm timeline. The answer is clear. Our goal is not to build a country in America's image or to eradicate every vestige of the Taliban. These objectives would require many more years, many more dollars, and most importantly, many more American lives. Our goal is to destroy Al-Qaeda, and we are on a path to do exactly that. Afghans want to assert their sovereignty and build a lasting peace. That requires a clear timeline to wind down the war. Others will ask, why don't we leave immediately? That answer is also clear. We must give Afghanistan the opportunity to stabilize. Otherwise, our gains could be lost, and Al-Qaeda could establish itself once more. And as Commander-in-Chief, I refuse to let that happen. I recognize that many Americans are tired of war. As president, nothing is more wrenching than signing a letter to a family of the fallen. We're looking into the eyes of a child who will grow up without a mother or father. I will not keep Americans in harm's way a single day longer than is absolutely required for our national security. But we must finish the job we started in Afghanistan and end this war responsibly. My fellow Americans, we've traveled through more than a decade under the dark cloud of war. Yet here, in the pre-dawn darkness of Afghanistan, we can see the light of a new day on the horizon. The Iraq war is over. The number of our troops in harm's way has been cut in half, and more will soon be coming home. We have a clear path to fulfill our mission in Afghanistan while delivering justice to Al-Qaeda. This future is only within reach because of our men and women in uniform. Time and again, they have answered the call to serve in distant and dangerous places. In an age when so many institutions have come up short, these Americans stood tall. They met their responsibilities to one another and to the flag they serve under. I just met with some of them and told them that as Commander-in-Chief, I could not be prouder. And in their faces, we see what is best in ourselves and our country. Our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, and civilians in Afghanistan have done their duty. Now, we must summon that same sense of common purpose. We must give our veterans and military families the support they deserve and the opportunities they have earned. And we must redouble our efforts to build a nation worthy of their sacrifice. As we emerge from a decade of conflict abroad and economic crisis at home, it's time to renew America. An America where our children live free from fear and have the skills to claim their dreams. A united America of grit and resilience, where sunlight glistens off soaring new towers in downtown Manhattan, and we build our future as one people, as one nation. Here in Afghanistan, Americans answered the call to defend their fellow citizens and uphold human dignity. Today, we recall the fallen and those who suffered wounds, both seen and unseen. But through dark days, we have drawn strength from their example and the ideals that have guided our nation and lit the world. A belief that all people are created equal and deserve the freedom to determine their destiny. That is the light that guides us still. This time of war began in Afghanistan, and this is where it will end. With faith in each other and our eyes fixed on the future, let us finish the work at hand and forge a just and lasting peace.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Attention, mindless criminals, thugs, and thieves. Go ahead, break a leg. American homeowners are fed up with your door kick-ins and forced entries. We now dare you to try your boot against any door reinforced with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel pack includes a steel door jam plate with 3.5-inch screws, a lock shield, and hinge shields. The door sentinel installs in minutes, securing any front, side, or back doors, even French doors. Criminals, be forewarned, your lake will break before the door sentinel will budge. Even if you have an alarm system, back it up with the door sentinel. Basic products starting under $20. Order your door sentinel today for your home, garage, or any building you own or rent at MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com or call 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Get your peace of mind back with Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel. Always on guard.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Tonight, we're going to talk in our next segment about Obama's speech. Was it filled with potholes? What would you give it on a scale of 1 to 10? That's coming up next. You know how I feel, but we'll dive a little bit further into it. You can hit us up, of course, at americatonight.net. Email us that way on the chat. Or you can call us at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Lindsay Lohan was sucking up to the president over the weekend, in a way. I mean, she was just there with the entourage of celebrities for the correspondence dinner. I guess I was kind of surprised when I saw her picture, though. I don't know why, with everything that she's been into lately, including now she's got a new movie gig. She's going to portray Elizabeth Taylor each and every week. Our man in Hollywood, love this guy. He's the best storyteller, bar none, I'm telling you. If he went into another field, he'd probably do the same thing and be fantastic at it. But you want to know about Hollywood, he's the guy to talk to. So we are always pleased to have Stephen Shohead on the show. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Kate, how are you?
Good. So Lohan was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and now she's kind of getting herself back in good graces after all the things that have happened to her with drugs and drinking and court appearances and all that sort of thing. Do you think, the first question is, because you've seen Hollywood starlets rise and fall, and you know how tough it is in L.A. and the movie business. Do you think that it's a forgiving business and you can bounce back?
Well, I think a lot of people root for people who are down and out and want them to come back. So that's a good thing. I mean, it's funny because a lot of people want to see somebody fall who reaches the top, it seems like. I mean, there's always those stories about the restaurant The Grill, which was shown a couple times on Entourage. The characters of Ari, the agent, and his assistant Lloyd would go to The Grill. And there's a lot of people talk about that place where they don't want to go there on Monday if their movie fails because people in the business, because there's an implication that people are rooting for you to fail. But I don't think that's true with a lot of people. I think, for one thing, if movies are successful, it leads to more movies being made and more money being invested into the business, meaning more jobs and more profit. So I think there's no good things to be gained financially eventually by people failing, although some people have admitted that. I'll tell you a great book is Easy Riders, Raging Bulls by I can't remember the author's name right now, but it's about a lot of directors in Hollywood, Peter Biskind. And some of the people in that book, like some of the younger directors like Scorsese and Brian De Palma, were admitting that they couldn't root for their peers' success, that they had to be on top, and they felt bad if one succeeded and they didn't. So there is an element of that, but I think eventually I think people come to root for other people.
All right, so that means, and I agree with you, I think eventually people come to root for other people. Absolutely, well said. We saw that with Robert Downey Jr., all the nonsense he went through, and people love him in L.A.
Yeah, you know, the thing about Robert Downey Jr., with the exception of Ally McBeal, where I think he interrupted production, he famously was totally professional on the movie sets. All his problems, according to people who work with him, took place off the set. In fact, when they made the movie Air America, people were talking about how Robert Downey Jr. was the real professional guy and on time, and how it was Mel Gibson who was getting into bar fights, and he was the one that people were worried about. And I think at the time, generally speaking, Mel Gibson probably had the more professional, at least higher thought of reputation than Robert Downey Jr. did. So Robert Downey Jr., he tended to party a lot off camera, but eventually what happens is that really hurts your chance of getting insured and makes it harder for you to work, and he's been able to overcome all of that. So I don't think that's a problem at the current time.
Yeah. Do you think it's an interesting choice to cast Lindsay Lohan as, I mentioned, the top Elizabeth Taylor?
Well, it's going to get a ton of publicity. So from a marketing standpoint, I'll bet you people tune in to see it. I think it's horrible casting. I mean, what can I say? I think Elizabeth Taylor was a very complex person and had chutzpah and was for causes and was loyal to friends. I mean, when Montgomery Clift was in the car accident, his teeth were down his throat. She reached in down his throat to save him from choking. And then later on, she tried to help him get work. I mean, she was concerned for other people. Now, did she make a lot of wrong-headed choices? Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you can say that. And then there were obviously drunken incidents that, on a superficial level, might remind people of Lindsay Lohan. But, I just don't think Lindsay Lohan has the life experience yet. I mean, in a shallow way, maybe, but not in a way that has really got, really in a three-dimensional way, at least with the public persona that she's put out there. And also, she's still in her 20s. And with Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, I mean, they were in their 30s and 40s when they were going at it with their relationship. And, I mean, they did fight a lot. I mean, Elizabeth Taylor when she famously gave an interview with Richard Burton on 60 Minutes, which people can see on YouTube, after a few minutes, the interviewer said, "Oh, it's great that you two are getting along so well." And Elizabeth Taylor smiled and said, "Stick around." So, you know, there were tumultuous things there, but I don't think Lindsay Lohan is right to play her.
Yeah, I don't think so either. You know, you sent me an interesting note before you came on the air last week, and you threw out a couple of other interesting choices casting-wise, like John Wayne as Genghis Khan.
Right. Well, that was a really freaky thing. That was John Wayne read the script. He said he really wanted to do it. And John Wayne really was the person who generally thought hard about movie roles and turned down things like All the King's Men and High Noon because he didn't approve of their political statements and the overall story. And he even wrote letters about how much he disliked All the King's Men, which of course ended up winning the Oscar. But for some reason, he was immediately attracted to playing Genghis Khan in The Conqueror, and then a day before it started shooting, he realized that the script was not for him. It was originally written for Marlon Brando, and he said, "What's going on here? What is this?" Like he was totally unaware after committing to it that it would be the wrong choice, and obviously it was a widely panned performance, and I mean there were all sorts of tumultuous things happening on the set. But it was just out of character for him to choose to be in that role. And Dick Powell, the producer at the time, said, "I'm not going to turn down John Wayne if he wants to do it." And sometimes that's what happens with star power. I mean, you know, another famous role that most people feel was completely miscast was Mickey Rooney playing the upstairs neighbor of Japanese origin in Breakfast at Tiffany. And it was an over-the-top role, and Mickey Rooney for years has denied that it was racist on his part. Although it's funny because in his autobiography he said he was absolutely ashamed of the role, but in interviews he said, "Well, the director Blake Edwards just wanted me to do an over-the-top part, and I had a ball doing it, and I didn't mean to insult anybody, but it was just something. I mean, it was a little closer to World War II than." 1961 than it is now, but now it's even more shocking to see something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. It's interesting sometimes what I guess friendships, especially in the old days of movie making, which you talk about a lot in Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movie. So movies, we'll see how Lindsay Lohan does as Elizabeth Taylor and how people...
I think people will see. You know, I think that's the thing. They will watch. So from a newsworthy standpoint, from trying to get people the ratings, I mean, it seems to me like a commercially viable idea, but it's an artistic part. I understand Kate Winslet was interested in it, and I mean, to me, that would be a much better choice.
I completely agree. Stephen, as always, fun to have you on the show. As I already said, pick up his book. It's great. Hollywood Story, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it.
All right, coming up here on America Tonight, we're going to talk about the president. He gives his big bad speech in the dark of the night. He arrives in Afghanistan. So we got a poll going on. If you go to the website americatonight.net, you can download our brand new app. It's called Press 4. Press 4. And that's how you can get in touch with the show. And you can download it and then say keyword America Tonight poll. The poll is President Obama fake, a rock star, a pedestrian president, or a one-hit wonder? Put your spin on it. We'll talk about that next, and more reaction from the Afghanistan trips, mixing in a few other things along the way as we make that final turn to exit the first hour here on America Tonight.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com. That's crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every meat eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our 1 year plus meat eaters units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the freeze dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me. And I know it's just no.
One thing's for certain. In an election year, everybody has an opinion about the current guy in the White House and anybody who would take his spot. I think now Obama has become a little bit more polarizing than he was the first time around. He was that rock star. Like I said, you could take our poll. Is he fake? Is he a rock star? Is he a pedestrian president? Or is he a one-hit wonder? Even halfway through his term, he was hedging his bet a little bit in an interview he did with ABC, if you remember, saying it was okay if he was a one-term president, that it would be okay. And was he hinting that, ooh, if this health care thing doesn't work out, maybe it's only going to be, I'm only going to be here 4 years, then I won't get the second time around. Because every president who runs says that they don't have enough time to do what they need to do, and how they can help the country and their vision for the country. They need 2 terms, usually anyway. It's about that second term. So the president sneaks off into the war zone Afghanistan, cuts the deal that we knew was on the table pretty much with Hamid Karzai, who was flipping out since the beginning of the year because of a lot of different things that had happened. The soldier who killed the 17 civilians, allegedly. Got to put that in there until they nail him nail it shut on him. A sad story, because we know that he had a serious brain disorder from a previous accident. But 17 people are killed in the dark of the night. He goes into the two villages, the accidental burning of the Qurans, and the list grew longer and longer and longer. And then photos released in the Los Angeles Times, taken 2 years ago, of dead bodies, of bomb makers with some of our soldiers from this one particular unit. So the tensions were, needless to say, more than high, and Hamid Karzai was stacking the deck because he knew, I'm going to ask for this, I'm going to ask for this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You know, my opinion was to get the troops out now, that we were done. Let's get them out now. And based on what we heard the president say earlier, I mean, it was good for the morale, I suppose, for him to go over, and he had to cut the deal with Hamid Karzai, and he had to go without anybody knowing that he was going, or very few people knowing, for risk of something happening, let's face it. You got 88,000 troops that are inside Afghanistan. I mean, in this document that supposedly has been signed, it doesn't say that there's going to be any kind of permanent bases in the country after 2014, and it does allow for the possibility of the troops staying in Afghanistan beyond that year to train and counterterrorism ops. And you heard the president say, we're not going to be responding to anything. It's going to be Afghan security folks who end up doing that. Here's a little snippet, in case you missed it, of Obama talking about Bagram and talking about why he was there.
I've come to Afghanistan to mark a historic moment for our two nations, and to do so on Afghan soil. I'm here to affirm the bonds between our countries, to thank American and Afghans who have sacrificed so much over these last 10 years.
The reason America is safe is because of you.
All right, so that's all nice, because of our soldiers staying there again and again and again and again. But I said this before, I think the big mistake in this, on the anniversary of bin Laden's death, is that we should have left with the victory after bin Laden. At one point, Obama said, we got 20 of 30 of the bad guys, Al-Qaeda, and knocking off bin Laden, that was the time to ride on out of Afghanistan, cut this deal, some kind of a deal, and not wait around. Because then I think there would be, clearly, you could proclaim that something had happened. Here's something else that's blowing in the wind with this deal, where we don't know every single thing that's mixed into it, but we do know this. I mean, the United States is going to focus on intelligence, combat medicine, special ops, artillery, criminal investigations in the police force that in Afghanistan that's riddled with corruption, of course. And the target for the Afghan force is about 352,000 police, army, kind of split that in the middle somewhere, and then it'll drop after that. So who's going to pay for this? We're talking about $4.1 billion a year. So paying for the upkeep is key. The United States, us, you and me, taxpayers, do we want to pay that whole amount? No. And so they're saying, at least someone at the Pentagon told me, that, and I don't think this is a secret, we don't want to pay the whole thing. So who are we asking? The Europeans, because, yeah, they got lots of money after bailing out Greece twice, Italy, lots of others faltering, sitting around waiting to fall apart with their currency. But, okay, asking Europe and other security assistance folks to pay, allies in other words, to pay about $1.3 billion of the bill. So that means, do the math, we're paying at least the rest of that. And who knows if they're going to agree to pay any of that. Probably pay some of it. But how do you feel about footing the bill for this security force after we're leaving? I mean, we're going to stay there and help for a while. So rest assured, the spigot, at least when it comes to money, the flow is still very much there and going into Afghanistan. And when we pay for this army and we pay for the police, how secure will this region be? One of the things that Obama mentioned is trying to deal with the Taliban and suggesting to the Taliban that they could live in peace, that they could be part of the deal, that they don't have to be on the other side of this. So what do you think? Is it a huge mistake to foot the bill again and again, or nah, too late because we're already invested? So in the poll, fake rock star, a pedestrian president, or a one-hit wonder, Shelley sends an email and says, boy, pretty quick, Shelley, on the trigger. One-hit wonder. Jake, who always sends us emails at least three or four times a week out of Austin, Texas, says, at best, and I'm being kind because I'm in a good mood, I'm going to say a pedestrian president. And this comes from the lips of a guy who was once a pretty dogged Democrat. Didn't know that. He's never said that before. If you want to weigh in, you can do that by uploading the new app from the fine people at Press 4. Such a cool thing. You can go to the website, in fact, to get all the goodies on that. I mean, in other words, just download it, the link to download it. If you have an iPhone, Android, any of that kind of stuff. And even if you don't, you can still do it. You can still do Press 4, and it'll tell you about that there. The link's on the front of our website. Press 4 it is, and it's orange circle with a 4 in the middle of it. So, and all you have to do is use the keyword, say, when you hold it up to your ear, you say, America Tonight poll. How easy is that? Very cool. Welcome, America Tonight, to the 21st century. You still can do the snail mail thing. You can friend us, all that other stuff, through Press 4 as well. I think the next couple of days, so much of the conversation is going to be over bin Laden, where we're at, fears over will something happen in the next couple of days. Obviously, didn't happen so far because there were the reports of potentially people jumping on planes with body bombs, maybe, you know, planes that were headed to the United States, and how tricky, obviously, that would be. We know what happened with Abdullah Muttalib, certainly. Let's go to Tom in Washington. Hey, Tom, you have the last word. What do you think?
Well, the biggest problem that I have with this, the way that the president has handled the killing of bin Laden is this. I say that what we should have done, rather than announcing it the next day, is that we should have waited, not announcing it, and then waited to see who scrambled. You know what I mean? We should have waited and announced nothing.
Waited and not said anything. So just kind of let it all play out instead of getting ahead of what happened. Ooh, the only thing is, Tom, that'd be really tough to control the flow of information. But as you know, that's one of the things that the White House wants to do. They want to make sure that they're ahead of what the reports were coming out of this whole bin Laden story. Hey, Tom, thanks for weighing in here on America Tonight.